Okay, welcome everybody. Good afternoon to our special Chodesh Elul, pre-Rosh Hashanah, final day Shir before the Yom Hadin at the Ohal Sara Amin group. We are learning Lidui Nishmas and Lezech Nishmas. Sara Yuta Allah Hasham, as Ephraim Menachem Mendel, Vadina Martin Sheyichu, Vayhur Neshama have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah, as a continued Chos Refuah Shleima for Rezel Dina Bas. Did I say the name wrong? Chai Rezel Bas Dina. Chai Rezel Bas, I say it every day in that way, but Chai Rezel Bas Dina should have a refuah shleima besoch she'ar cholei Yisrael in the merit of our Torah. So there are many approaches that we could take for an Elul Shir, and there's many ways to discuss Teshuvah and preparing for Yom HaDin, what Rav Soloveitchik calls Coronation Day, the day when the king, HaMelech HaKadosh, sits in judgment. And we really do need to take upon ourselves this time period of change. This week's Parshas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, is all about the mitzvah of Teshuvah, really, and coming back to the Ribono Shel Olam. I decided to take a little bit of a different approach, and I wanted to base this year on Yom Teruah, specifically the blast of the Teruah, the shofar blast. Rosh Hashanah in the Torah is called Yom Teruah Yelachem, and therefore I want to focus on the shofar and lessons that we learn from shofar. One of the main essences, we have tefillah on all days and on all Yom Tov, and we have Seudas Yom Tov on all days and on Rosh Hashanah. And we have an inyan to put on Yom Tov clothing, Lo Yeh Malbush Chashal Shabbos K'Malbush Chashal Chol, on all Yom Tov and Ben Shabbos. However, what distinguishes Rosh Hashanah from the rest of the year, aside for the fact that we dip an apple in honey, which is a nice siman, and the kids love it on the challah, and we eat pomegranates, I know, Sheir B'Zuchay Yaseinu, the mitzvah of the day, unique to the day, besides for the mitzvah incumbent upon us, which is mitzvah teshuvah, as we approach the time period of the Seder Simi teshuvah. So the mitzvah is really litkolash ha-shofar, lishma kol shofar, it's to blow the shofar blast, and therefore this year today we'll focus on inyanim and lessons surrounding tekiyas shofar, and what we learn from the shofar, and what it means to us. I begin with a little story that I actually read in Mishpacha, Pesach time, and a Pesach supplement. David Nen Zinsky had a good job. He was the chief of El Al Rio de Janeiro office. Abba, said his little daughter Daniela, who was critically ill, I want you to learn how to blow the shofar. She was critically ill, and her father, David, had never handled a shofar before, but his daughter insisted that he master the art of shofar blowing. More than a decade has passed since that strange request, says David. The Neninskis now live in a world away from Brazil. They now live in Beitar. Daniela left this world at the young age of 10 years old. But David, her father, is still carrying out his little daughter's instructions. Not only is he a master bal tokeya, he has gained acclaim because he crafts beautiful shofaros. Shofar crafting demands time, care, and knowledge, he says, as well as special tools, which David designed himself once he learned how to structure the horn into a shofar. His home now includes in Beitar a shofar workshop. He's gained thorough knowledge of the different types of shofars preferred by different communities. Beyond the perfectly shaped mouthpiece and the hours of practice, David feels there is a secret to producing a clear, piercing sound that announces true teshuvah. More than anything, he says, the shofar hates gaiva. The shofar hates haughtiness. The shofar hates the egocentricity of a man, which we become so involved in the whole rest of the year. And it's very interesting when you look at this time period of the Yomim Noraim, from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Yom HaKippurim, which is Yod Tishrei, these 40 days, the first 40 days of the set were the third set of 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu spent atop the mountain receiving the Torah once again, so to speak. We sinned, he went up to Davin for us, he was up there for three sets of 40 days, and the first time we ever had this set of 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Yom HaKippurim is when Moshe was atop the mountain, and finally on Yom HaKippurim, the Ribono Shel Olam said famous last words, Salachti Kidvarecha, I have forgiven you like you asked Moses, he gave Moshe Rabbeinu the second set of Luchos, Moshe brought them down, and at Motzei Yom HaKippurim, the people began building the Mishkan. It's fascinating to consider that they began after Salachti Kidvarecha, and Moshe comes down and they have Tahara And Kedusha, once again, after Chayra Egel, they began Binyan HaMishkan, and we have a strong custom to begin Binyan HaSukkah right after Yom Kippur. We become involved in our state of cleanliness and purity with the building of the home for God. It is modeled after the structure, the Mishkan, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, that the Bnei Yisrael built for the Ribono Shel Olam. So it's very interesting that these 40 days, just like Matan Torah, at the time of Matan Torah, the sound of the shofar was going and strong very much. So shofar is associated with Matan Torah. These 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Yom Kippurim are a time that are really structured around shofar. Now I know as women, I would venture to say that most of us don't go to shul daily shachris in the morning, and we're most probably davening in your makom kavua, if it's your living room or your kitchen, hopefully it's not your car, wherever you are taking the time to daven to the Ribono Shel Olam. To say we're not doing so in the Beis Knesset, but the reality is that starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul, we are blowing shofar and shul every morning. So we begin this time period with Tkiyah Shofar. We take a very small break out of Rosh Hashanah, so the kolo should be new. We continue and we end this time period of shofar on Yom Kippurim. And one of the final things that we do as Ne'ila closes, as the day goes out, as the heavenly gates are closing, and we envision in our minds as the sky darkens, I'm sure you all envision it along with me, as the sky darkens, I always see the gates closing, and we usher out Ne'ila with shofar. So when you think of this time period, which is a time of teshuvah, a time of ahava between the Bnei Yisrael and the Shechina, the Ribono Shel Olam, a time of repentance and return, it begins with shofar. And it ends with shofar, which means that shofar plays a very, very important role during this time period. Min hametzar karasika, it's one of the psukim that we say before it's kiyah shofar. We say kapitol mem zayin 7 times, and then we recite responsively a series of passages, us and the achazin. Min hametzar karasika, from the straits I call out to God. Anani, answer me. Bamerchavka, widen it for me, God. If you think of the shofar, I saw this brought down by Rav Avraham Yitzchak Kohen Cook. Think of the shape of the shofar. The mouthpiece is very narrow. I mean, I don't know if we've ever blown one here, certainly not in any official capacity, but the mouthpiece is narrow, and it widens as it goes along. As it journeys forth, the shofar widens. This signifies our distress in the beginning of this time period. We feel very narrow. We feel constricted. We feel captive to sin and to the Yetzer Hara. We feel difficult. We feel despondent. We feel despair over our sins. We feel constricted. That's represented in the mouthpiece of the shofar. Min hametzar, what does bein hametzarim mean? What does Mitzrayim mean? It doesn't only mean the land of Egypt. It means in the narrow places. So that's the mouthpiece of the shofar. Min hametzar, from the narrow places. Karasika, what do I do when I'm in a narrow strait? What do I do when I'm in a time of difficulty? What do I do in a time of fear? Min hametzar, from that narrow place. Karasi, I call out to you, Ribono Shel Olam. Anani, please answer me, but don't leave me here feeling claustrophobic. Don't leave me here feeling afraid and narrow. But merchavka, widen the path for me, God. Bring me the Yeshua. When you think of the shofar, this is the journey of the shofar. It goes from narrow to wide. It goes from the mouthpiece, which is small, to a broader opening. That's what Avraham Yitzchak Kohen Cook Zatzal explains on this passage, on this pasuk. And this is, it's a kapitel from Tehillim, kapitel Kuf Yod Ches. And this is what we are asking the Ribono Shel Olam. We come before God on Rosh Hashanah, and yes, we stop and thank you, and we have so much good in our lives, and there are also times when we feel we are bein hametzarim. You feel min hametzar. You feel in a difficult time period. We ask the Ribono Shel Olam with the sound of the tkiyah shofar that goes from narrow through the shofar and emerges from a wide space to take us on that same journey as well. Rav Salvechik says the shofar prompts crisis awareness. The shofar prompts crisis awareness. On Rosh Hashanah, we are in crisis. Why? Because on this day, says the Rav, the fate of the individual, as well as that of the world, hangs in precarious balance. When we hear the shofar, it's a jarring alarm clock, and it should wake us up, and we should feel a crisis awareness. Even if you were asleep until now, you wasted the entire Elul, and you were busy with back to school, which you could be busy with, and menus, which we should be busy with, and shopping, it's all good and well. But don't forget the essence of this time. I assure us, everyone will have what to eat, and everyone will have what to wear, and the children will get back to school, and you need to do your normal shtalas for these things. But don't forget that we are in a crisis. And if we have squandered the entire Elul, and you come next week, it's Yom Sheni, next week at this time, maybe exactly around this time, maybe a little bit earlier, we will hear the shofar. And what should we feel? It prompts, says the Rav, a crisis awareness. On this day, we are in crisis because the individual, as well as the whole world, our fate hangs in precarious balance. This awareness is most acute, says Rav Soloveitchik, on Rosh Hashanah. You feel it the most on Rosh Hashanah. You feel much more the crisis awareness than you do in Teves, than you do in Shvat, than you do in Kislev, than you do in Adar. It is so heightened during these 40 days, especially on Rosh Hashanah, the Aser Simei Teshuvah. Truly, says the Rav, the crisis awareness is a permanent feature throughout the world. The crisis exists as long as a human being is aware of himself. The crisis of man's condition, of the frailty of man, exists as long as man is aware of himself. As long as my head is not in the sand and I don't take the approach of ignorance is bliss, if I understand the reality of what it means to be a finite mortal man, and the whole year I have crisis awareness. On Shabbos, I was walking in Woodmere, down Northfield. Is anyone in Northfield? It's off of Woodmere Boulevard. Okay. I was out to my brother's house. And there was no one in the street. It was 5 to 6 in the evening. There was no one in the street. I was walking down Northfield from Woodmere Boulevard towards Hewlett. So I was walking east. And there was a, what looks to be like a 7-year-old boy on a scooter, from boy, on a scooter, going down Northfield the other way. So I was going east, he was going west. It was only the two of us in the street. Whew, my heart's beating when I'm retelling you the story. Obviously, Baruch Hashem, the end is that everything's fine because you didn't hear anything in the news. And all of a sudden, I realized that out of the driveway that he's approaching is a construction van, not a like minivan that we have now. The new ones all have rear view cameras, like one of those big Ford white vans, and it's reversing. And the boy is scooting. This is a true story. It's just happened Shabbos. I feel like I had PTSD. The boy is going down the street, and the van is reversing. And the boy is going, and the van is reversing, and there's no one else in the street. And I'm watching right before my eyes. I was too overcome. I wasn't even davening. I wasn't even saying anything. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, stop. I'm screaming. I'm not going to demonstrate for you. Me screaming. Screaming. Stop. 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 Screaming. I didn't even have the wherewithal to like daven. I was just paralyzed. And the boy's not hearing me. And the van windows are closed. And he keeps reversing and he keeps scooting. At the last second, the boy, I guess, heard and swerved. And he came to where I was on the sidewalk, and I said to him, you have to, I was shaking, I was almost in tears, said, you were almost hit by the van, you have to watch where, he said, I'm sorry, I said, no, I'm sorry, I said, please, you have to pay attention, I said, you were this close, and then his father rounded the corner, and I saw the father call to the boy, so I said, I saw him talk, I said, is that your father, he said, yes, so I went to the father, I said, I'm not telling you this to get your son in trouble. The father saw I was visibly shaking. My heart was, I couldn't see my heart, but I was like almost, my voice was wavering. I said, he was this close to being hit by the van. I said, you have to tell him. He wasn't paying attention. He's in the middle of the street. It was, Baruch Hashem, it was such an ace. But that's what Rosh Hashanah is. The fate of all of us hangs in precarious balance. I learned a few things from this story. One is, I ran inside, my kids were my daughter was at my sister's in London. My husband came over from shul. I told him right away. I was very shaken up. Motzei Shabbos, I couldn't sleep. I was thinking about, like, I'm seeing with my eyes what's happening. I learned a few things. One is, as the driver, he has no idea what he was doing. He has no idea. He literally was this close to kill. If he was going very slowly. If the driver had been reversing quickly, I'm not exaggerating the story. If the driver had been reversing quickly, forget it. First of all, we don't realize how our actions impact somebody else. The driver does not even know what he did, what he almost did. Number two, we don't realize how the Ribbono Shel Olam is constantly saving us from situations of danger. The mother of that boy did not see what happened. She's not going to have Motzei Shabbos. I could barely sleep. She doesn't have the same vision in her mind. The mother does not appreciate the nisim. You know, Rav Shai Shechter, when so many beautiful vart, the Medrash says, we say in Hodu, la'osei nifla'os gedolos levado, kili olam chasto. What does that mean? La'osei nifla'os gedolos levado. La'osei, to the one who does, nifla'os, wonders, gedolos, great ones, levado, to himself. What does that mean? God does great wonders to himself. Kili olam chasto. His kindness is eternal. So Rav Shai Shechter explained to me a very beautiful var. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates the magnitude of the miracles that he does. La'osei niflaos gedolos levado. I don't even appreciate that when I just crossed the street, I got across the street safely. He appreciates alone the magnitude of the miracle. So the story made me appreciate, one, I don't always know how my actions impact on somebody else. That's the viewpoint of the driver. Number two, that we don't realize how often the Ribbono Shel Olam brings us back from the brink. You know, we tend to focus a lot on the lack and the tsaros and the tragedy, and we should, and they deserve our attention and the mourning, but we don't talk about every day when we cross the street safely. It's a tremendous nis. And the third thing that the story made me realize, in light of the fact, story, the happening, the mice, I was right there. It was only me and the boy in the street. And Hashem. And the driver of the Ford. And the last thing it made me realize is that's really Yom HaDin. What does it mean, Sefer HaChayim v'Sefer HaMavis Pesuchim Lefanav? What does it mean, says the Rav, that the shofar prompts the crisis awareness? That really, says Rav Soloveitchik, this crisis awareness exists the entire year. But we don't walk around, thank God, I think it's a bracha, feeling the crisis awareness the whole year, or we would not be able to function. But when we stand before him, and the shofar blast, which is the wordless prayer of the soul, emanates from the narrow place and moves, b'merchavka, to the wide strait, we realize our fate, says Rav Soloveitchik, as individuals, and our fate as a world and as a nation and as a people with a land precariously hangs in the balance. And this crisis exists as long as man is aware of himself. It is the crisis that expresses itself in man's fear of death, his anxiety about the future, his feelings of guilt regarding the past, and his yearning to recover lost time and wasted opportunities. I will repeat that very, very, very powerful sentence. The shofar prompts a crisis awareness. The crisis exists as long as man is aware of himself. It is a crisis that expresses itself in man's fear of death, in anxiety over the future, feelings of guilt regarding the past, and yearning to recover lost time and wasted opportunities. I believe that that sentence describes everyone here. If we are aware of ourselves as human beings, every man fears death, every man regrets the errors of the past, every man has anxiety over the future, and every person wants to recover lost time and missed opportunities. Every one of us wants to undo things that we did wrong and redo things we didn't do right. And that's all encapsulated in the message of Shofar. The Rambam writes, Maimonides writes in Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Gimel, Af al pi, even though I'm going to tell you the Lashon of the Rambam from Mishnah Torah, and then I will translate it. Af al pi shetkia shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeiras hakasuv, even though we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because it is a gzeiras hakasuv. Why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Almighty, commanded us to blow shofar. You understand it, you don't understand it, it doesn't matter. It's a gzeiras hakasuv. Glad said blow shofar. Remez yeshbo. There is an illusion in shofar. And this is, you may have heard this outside, klomar uru uru yeshenim. Wake up. Wake up, you sleepers. Mishinaschem, from your sleep. The hakitsu. What does hakitsu mean? Jump up. Get up. Near damim, it's a deeper level of sleep. Malecha near dam, said the Chovel to Yona. It's a deep slumber. Jump up from your slumber, you that slumbers, mitar de maschem, from your deep sleep. The shofar is really an alarm clock. Uru, uru, hakitsu, get up from your yeshena, get up from your shena, from your sleep. Get up from your malecha near dam, said the Rav Chovel. V'chapsu b'ma'aseichem v'chizru b'teshuvah, writes the Rambam. Search your deeds and return in repentance. V'zichru bora'achem, says the Rambam. What should you do when you hear the shofar? You should wake up from your slumber. You should realize every time you cross the street, it's a miracle that life hangs in the balance. You should remember your Creator. Zichru bora'achem. Remember mi bara'ela. Check your deeds. Elu hashochachim es ha'emes b'havlei hazman. There are those who forget the truth because they become involved. How do you translate havlei hazman? Hevel havelim. The futility. They don't pay attention to the passing of time, to the preciousness of time. They fill their time with futility, with wasted matters. V'shogim kol shnasam behevel v'rik. They spend their whole year with hevel and rik, with emptiness, rik. Hevel, hevel havalim, with nothingness. Asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil. All of that will not help them and will not save them. Everything, all the shtusim, that man, when I say man, I don't mean male. All the shtusim that we fill our time with, asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil, it's not going to help me and it will be of no benefit to me on the Yom HaDin. Habitu l'nafshoseichem, says the Rambam. Take a good look at your soul. The Heitivu Darcheichem. Heitivu, Tov. What should you do to your ways? Heitivu Darcheichem. Fix them. Make them good again. Uma Alalechem. And your Milos. How would you translate that? Your level. Fix yourself. It's hard to translate this literally. I'm not a professional translator. Elu Hashochachim Es HaEmes. I'm repeating in Lashon HaKodesh, in Lashon of the Rambam. Hashochachim Es HaEmes Bahavlei Hazman. V'shogim kol shnatam behevel v'rik asher lo ya'il v'lo yatzil habitu l'nafsho seichem. Look inside. V'heitivu darcheichem. Straighten, make good your ways. U'mal aleichem v'ya'azov kol echan mikem darko hara. The shofar tells you, every one of you, leave your bad path. U'machshav tova asher lo tova. It's not enough to leave the bad path of action. We must leave the machshava ra as well. The Rambam here is talking about two different things. Listen carefully. Yazov kol echad mikem darko hara'a. So if I'm not davening properly, and I don't care if I'm supposed to bow by modim, I'm supposed to bow here, three steps back here or there, I don't light candles, bisman chasram, I don't make a bracha. There are mitzvos of action. There are chovos haguf. And I have to leave my bad way of chovat haguf. But there is also something else. Umachshav tov, and my thoughts, asher lo tova. And that's a different category of avodas Hashem. The shofar must wake me up in all areas. My actions have to be al pi halacha. I can't shake lulav and esrog however I want, wherever I want, whenever I want. If I pick up lulav and esrog today, could I say I'm fulfilling the mitzvah? It's very nice, but you're not doing anything. My actions have to be proper and yashar, but machshav tov, asher lo tova, my thoughts that are also improper, must be made straight. Lefichach, says the Rambam, tzarich kol adam, sheyira atzmo kol hashana kulo. Every person must see himself the entire year, ki ilo chatzio zakai vechatzio chayav. What should you see yourself as the whole year? What did I just read to you? Chatzio chayav and chatzio zakai. Half of me is worthy, meritorious, and the other half of me is in big trouble. Chatzio Chayav. No, the Rambam says the Lashon Tov first. Chatzio Zakai. I have Schusim. I should see that I have a lot of Schusim. On the other hand, Chatzio Chayav. My other half is balancing out the Schusim. So I'm really on a tightrope. What tightrope am I on? Exactly in the middle. I'm not a tzaddik because Chatzio Ra. I'm not a Rasha because Chatzio Zakai. V'chein kol ha'olam. And we should see the whole world. Chatzio Zakai v'chatzio Chayav. It's half as chusim and merits, and it is half liable and culpable. So what does that mean? I ask you a question. If you're exactly half, you have the exact same number of merits as chova, you have the exact number of mitzvos as averos. So if you do one action, what does that mean? What? You could tip the whole scale in either direction. That's exactly what the Rambam writes here. Tilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Chata Chet Echad. So if you do one sin, what does that mean? What side are we just going on to? The side of Chova. Harei Hichri Atzmo V'Hichri Es Kol HaOlam Kulo L'Kaf Chova. I have just tipped myself and the whole world along with me to the side of I'm Chayav. You know, who knows what merit saved that little boy? I cannot explain to you how close. It was a big van, and he was Baruch Hashem going very slowly. Who knows what merit saved that child? Maybe it was someone's here, extra kavan in tefillah. Maybe it was an extra tear you shed. Maybe it was a mitzvah that tipped the scale at that exact moment when the whole world was chayev. Maybe at that moment you were davening mincha. I'm not making a joke. It was 5 to 6 Shabbos afternoon. Maybe at that minute you were saying Pirkei Avos. Maybe at that minute you were doing Bikur Cholim, and you had extras chosim, and the whole world was chayiv on the one end, and Zakai on the other end, and that little boy is scooting, and Michard is screaming, and nobody knows what to do, and that child was about to be killed. I cannot describe the scene. Maybe your Maisa, that Shabbos, at that exact moment, maybe it saved that child. Who's to say? I don't know the Ribbono Shel Olam scales. This is what the Rambam writes. You not only should see yourself of half Zakai and half Chai, but you should see the whole world along with you. And if you do one action, you tip the whole world with one sin to Chova and with one mitzvah to Zakai. Vigaram lahem hashchasa. He who does one aveira and tips the scales to Chova brings destruction. However, asa mitzvah achas. You did what? You didn't even think it was such a big deal. It was easy for you. It wasn't a big deal. You didn't even think it had brought so many schusim. A lot of Kol Yisrael ravim zebazeh. You don't know where that schus went. Harei hichri as atzmo v'hichria as kol olam kulo l'kaf zuchus. You tip yourself and the entire world along with you to the side of merit. V'garam lahen teshua. The garam lahen, teshua vehatzala. This is the lashon of the Rambam. In that one mitzvah, in that one chesed, in that one act of tzedakah, in that one moment of teshuva, somebody saved that little boy. His mother doesn't even know. The van driver doesn't even know. I can't tell you how close. I'm screaming. And the father said to me, because he was around the corner, he said, I heard someone screaming. So his own child's life was mamish hanging in the balance, and someone screaming, he doesn't even know. Who saved that boy? I don't know. Harei hichri es atzmo v'hichria es kol ha'olam kulo d'kaf zechus. That's if you do asa mitzvah achas. And when you hear shofar, it's the crisis awareness. You know we're all that child behind the scooter. On the scooter. Behind the van. And that one mitzvah, garam lahen teshua v'hatzala. Salvation and deliverance. Hatzala. Like the Pasuk says the Rambam in Mishlei, tzaddik yisod olam. What does it mean that a tzaddik is the foundation of the world? It means that through his actions, he gives stability to the world. Foundation, think of a foundation. A foundation gives stability. You could build the most beautiful, giant, huge, large home with the best kitchen and the fanciest appliances, and you don't have a foundation. What's going to happen to your house? not going to be able to even build it. It's a facade. It's an illusion. So we can be involved in the most gashmistic things that look so beautiful. But tzaddik yisod olam. It is the ways of righteousness, of the righteous person that gives stability to the world. Zeshet tzidak atzmo yichriya es kol ha'olam kulo v'hitzilo. He who makes himself righteous, he saves the whole world. Umipnei inyan zeh, and because of this matter, says the Rambam, no hagu kol beis Yisrael laharbos bitztaku v'maisim tovim u'la'asok b'mitzvos meirosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippurim. You know, this is a very interesting concept, because it's the Rambam who writes, people have a minhag to do what during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah? What? Oh, so take something extra upon themselves. Okay? Someone who doesn't Ichav Yisrael, does Ichav Yisrael, Pas Yisrael, Pas Yisrael. People have a minhag to daven 10 minutes earlier, light Shabbos candles earlier. People have a minhag to take something upon themselves. So like, I'm playing a trick on God? Think about it. It's a joke? So on tests, Elul, I'm going to do this and say extra 5 kapitach of Tehillim. And you know, fellow, I'm going back to my regular Tehillim schedule. What am I doing? Today I'm going to eat Mahajan yogurt, and tomorrow after Yom Kippur, not tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow the day after that, I'm going to eat Shobani yogurt. I'm playing tricks with God. But it's actually in the Rambam. And the Rambam writes, Mipnei inyan zeh, because of this matter, which we just discussed, which is the idea, what did we just discuss? Does everyone know what we just discussed? I'm explaining it, I hope. That one mitzvah and one aveira could tip the whole world. And during this time period, we're in crisis awareness, says the Rav, because the whole world is in crisis. So mipnei inyan zeh, because the scales are out and we're all that child on the scale. I'm not making up. I'm not telling you this to embellish the share. I was so shaken up. Mipnei inyan zeh, nahagu kol beis Yisrael. The entire house of Israel. Interesting, he does not say the Rav. Brisk was very medactic on examining the Lashon of the Rambam. You don't just learn the Rambam, but every word means something. And it's very interesting that he does not say kol b'nei Yisrael, but rather beis Yisrael. And traditionally, beis Yisrael includes the women. That's exactly right. Nahagu kol beis Yisrael laharbo spitztaka. All the house of Israel has a minhag, nahagu, it's a minhag, to give more tzedakah. Uve ma'isim tovim, yeah, it's not a trick, you're not playing a joke on God. You as the individual are trying to tip the scale, to be that extra zchus that saves another soldier this year. How do you know? How many attempted attacks there were and soldiers that were saved because of your tear? Do you know? Because of your extra dollar. Because of your bikur cholim. We only see when the outcome is a disaster, but we don't see and we don't stop and say, Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki l'olam chasdo, all the positive, all the salvation, all the Yeshua, maybe it came from my act. And therefore, during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, we give increased tzedakah. Uve ma'isim tovim, take an extra kind act, a good deed. Ma'isim tovim literally means good deed upon yourself. The la'asok b'mitzvos. It's not a trick. If you want to eat mahajan and you're not usually Shabbat, I'm not telling anybody what to do, you should do it. Me'rosh Hashanah ad Yom HaKippurim yoser mikol yamos Hashanah. That's the Lashon of the Rambam. He says, from Rosh Hashanah, through Yom HaKippurim, we have a minhag to increase charity, to do more ma'isim tovim, and to be osik in more mitzvos. Furthermore, you should get up at the night during Aseres Yemei Teshuvah to daven in the Batei Knesios. So I don't know if we're going to do that, but certainly a person wants to take extra 5 kapitach tehillim upon themselves. You're not tricking God. You're amassing schusim not only for yourself, but for the whole Knesset Yisrael. I want to share an amazing story, and when I first read it, you know, sometimes you have to be careful what you read. Can't believe everything you read. It's nice to try and verify, unless you know that the source is very reliable. This is a reliable source, but I found the story so unbelievable that I wanted to verify. And I went online, and it's Taka, a real story, because I saw it on the Yad Vashem website. So it's called The Radishitzer Rebbe, The Shofar of Eternity. Okay, I'm quoting from Heroes of Faith. Rabbi Hoffman. How does one go about fashioning a shofar and blowing it on Rosh Hashanah in a Nazi concentration camp? I could not even believe it was a real story. It is. You can see it on the Yad Vashem website also. Where does one even find a shofar? In the depths of Gehenim. Who has the presence of mind to consider the mitzvah hayam? The Holy Rebbe of Radishitz, Rav Yitzchak Finkler, Hashem Yukom Damo. His question was, how does one not blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? It was 1943. Rosh Hashanah was rapidly approaching. Rav Yitzchak of Radishitz had decided he would definitely fulfill the mitzvah of Tekiyas Shofar, even though he was in this Skarzysko, S-K-A-R-S-Z-Y-S-K-O concentration camp. When he told this to his fellow inmates, they were astonished. Blow shofar? Rabbi, we don't have a shofar. We're in a concentration camp. The rabbi replied, it can be done. It will be done. I only ask for your help and your cooperation. The men who were close to Rav Yitzchak revered him as a tzaddik. They said they would gather a small sum of money, whatever people had in the camp. They bribed a Polish worker who lived outside of the camp to bring them the head of a horned animal. The Gentile, to their great distress, brought the head of an ox. The horns of an ox may not be used as a shofar. The inmates were crushed. They used most of their resources. They had nothing to show for it. The Rebbe was undaunted, and he encouraged his followers, we will try again. For a second time and a second fee, a sum they could barely scrape together, they had a different Polish worker who got it right. He got them the head of a ram. The Rebbe was overjoyed, but who would make a shofar in the camp? Who had the tools to even attempt to make a shofar? The Rebbe remembered a former chassid, Moshe Naichitsky, who used to daven in Ishtiba. He worked in the metal workshop in the concentration camp. The Rebbe spoke to this Moshe, and he outlined his plan. They were going to make a shofar. Moshe began to tremble, and tears came to his eyes. Every step of the way, he knew, was a grave danger to all of their lives. Furthermore, he did not have the faintest idea of how to fashion a shofar from a horn. But when he saw the Rebbe in front of him, begging him, crying to make the shofar, how could he refuse? The Rebbe promised him that if you accept this upon yourself, I promise you, you will survive the war. Moshe was successful. Shortly before Rosh Hashanah, he presented Rav Yitzchak with a finished, kosher shofar. The Rebbe's joy knew no bounds. On the morning of Rosh Hashanah, 5704, we're coming up to 5780, the Rebbe's barracks were filled with Jews who wanted to join in the mitzvah of Lishma Kol Shofar. The Rebbe recited Min HaMeitzar, Karasika, Anani Bamerchavka in a choking voice, and then he blew shofar. One of those present, Reb Avram Altman, later recounted, what shall I say? For me, it was like the assembly at Har Sinai at the time of Matan Torah. Don't laugh, that's how I felt. This is how many people who participated felt. We felt like it was Matan Torah. Moshe, the metal workshop chassid, who did survive the war, survived. He moved to Israel. He married the Rebbe's youngest daughter, the only member of the tzaddik's family to survive the Shoah. After a tireless search, he located the shofar, which had been lost for many years. The shofar today resides in Yad Vashem archives in Yerushalayim. And sometimes, another message of shofar is when things are so easy for us, we sometimes forget how important they are. How precious, how much Mesiras Nefesh generations of Jews have required for the mitzvah. Oh, it's shofar again. It should prompt in us the same passion, the same dveikus. Uru, uru, yesheni mishnaseichem, says the Rambam. Wake up. Crisis awareness. We are all the child on the scooter. And the van is backing up and the shofar is screaming, stop! And sometimes we choose to hear. Sometimes, Rachmana Letzlan, we stay asleep. It's very interesting that in the Chumash itself, Rosh Hashanah is referred to as Yom Teruah. Vayikra Choftes, Pasuk Aleph, Bamidbar, I'm sorry, Bamidbar. Choftes Aleph. Uvachodesh Hashvi'i Be'echad HaChodesh, what's the Chodesh Hashvi'i counting from Nisan? Tishrei Be'echad HaChodesh, what we call Rosh Hashanah. Mikra Kol Yeshi Alachem, it should be a calling of holiness to you. Kol Melechas Avodah Lo Sa'asu, Yom Teruah Yehi Alachem. So what's Rosh Hashanah called? Yom Teruah. Vayikra, Chof Gimel, Chof Dalet, Daber al B'nei Yisrael Lamer, B'chodesh Hashvi'i, Ba'echad l'chodesh, what we call Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, Yelachem Shabbaton, it should be for you a day of cessation, Shabbat means to cease, we spoke about this morning in class, Zikaron Teruah, Mikra Kodesh, once again, what is Rosh Hashanah called after the Teruah? It's a Yom Teruah, it's a Zikaron Teruah. Very interesting. In Vayikra Chaf Hei, in regard to the Yovel year, we're not talking about Shemitah Yovel now, but what does it say? What introduces the Yovel? The Shofar. But what does it specifically say? V'havarta Shofar Teruah. B'chodesh HaShvi'i. You shall blast, you shall pass through the land, the Teruah of the Shofar, on the seventh month, on the tenth of the month, on Yom HaKippurim. So here we have a connection between Yom HaKippurim and the Teruah blast. The Torah defines Rosh Hashanah as Yom Teruah. It's very clear, it's beferish. I just quoted you two psukim. It's Yom Teruah, Zikaron Teruah. In regard to Yom HaKippurim, we even have a connection between the Teruah blast and Yom HaKippurim, because when the Torah talks about the Yovel year, what signifies Ukrasim Dror La'aretz Echol Yoshveha, everyone goes back, Ish Al-Chuz Aso, what symbolizes the Yovel year is the Shofar on Yom HaKippurim, and what is the Lashon of the Torah? V'avarta Shofar Teruah, B'chodesh HaShvi'i, Ba'asar L'chodesh, what we call the 10th of the 7th month, B'feirush, B'yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, Ta'aviru Shofar B'chol Artzachem. Something that I speak about often in my teachings is how unbelievable Lashon HaKodesh is. How incredible the language of the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyachol is. For those who were with me in class this morning, we had an entire shiur on the word Teshuvah. Shabbos, Shavat, Lashev, Lashuv, Teshuvah, all in one word. Captivity, also in the word Teshuvah. And something, it's a different shiur, it's not for now. And something that's amazing about Lashon HaKodesh is if you look at the roots of words, they often have an entire lesson and an entire message. So the Tekiah blast is one long, sustained blast. The Shevarim blast is three broken blasts. Shever, lishbar, to break something. It's a Tekiah that's broken into three. What is the root of Teruah? Ra. So what does Ra mean?
Broken.
Shever means broken. Ra really means, you would say Ra means bad.
But
okay.
It's bad because it's severed a relationship.
What else is, what other word?
Raya.
Oh, friend. Very nice. As in, most famous usage perhaps, Vahafta Re'acha Kamoch, Lo Sikam, Lo Sitar, 1918, Vayikra, Lo Sikam, Lo Sitar, Svenei Mecha, Vahafta Re'acha Kamoch, Ani Hashem. So perhaps the most famous use of the fact that Reish Aleph is friend is via Hafta Re'acha Kamocha. What did I say, Reish Aleph? Thank you very much, Reish Ayin, thank you. What? Say it again. Okay, so that's really a whole shear by itself. No, like really, it's very cool. Maybe one time we'll do a shear here on the word Re'acha. It's amazing, but it's really not for now. Please don't bring it up. So Rav Soloveitchik says, the root of the word Teruah, now, Rosh Hashanah in the Torah is not called Yom Shevarim, and it's not called Yom Tekiah or Zikaron Teruah, it's called? What is going on? It's not called Yom Shevarim and Yom Tekiah or Zikaron Shevarim and Zikaron Tekiah, it's called Yom Teruah and Zikaron Teruah. The root of the word Teruah, says Rav Soloveitchik, which refers to the shofar, has two meanings. On the one hand, so you said, what did you say? Broken. So Rav Salvechik says, quote, God's shattering punishment and is used in the context of destruction, which you said bad because something is broken. So Rav Salvechik's always a little bit more eloquent, certainly, than myself. The true root word resh ayin, it was a mistake, thank you, indicates God's shattering punishment used in the context of destruction. He brings two quotes from Yeshayahu Perek Chaf Dalet and Yirmiyahu Perek Dalet. The human being dwells be'emek habacha, in a valley of tears, and he's exposed to destruction. Every human being is that little boy on the scooter. I don't know his name. The father saw I was almost crying, could barely talk. He said, I heard someone was screaming. True awe, on the one hand, prompts a crisis awareness because it indicates God's shattering punishment and destruction. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is din. Din means one strike, and you're out. You know what would have happened to all of us if the Ribbono Shel Olam decided to run the world only on din? Nobody would be here. We would not be here. Rashi tells us this right in the beginning of Chumash. Alaba Machshava Betchila, in the beginning God decided the name Shem Hashem Rachamim does not appear until Perak Beis. And Perak Aleph, it's only Elohim. Elohim, Elohim, Elohim created the world. Vayalokim is called Jerazza, Vahine Tov Ma'ar, Vayir, Vayibokar Yamashishi. The whole Perak Aleph is one Shem Hashem, it's Din. Rashi says that the Ribbono Shel Olam realized if Alaba Machshava Livroso Badin, and what would happen? The world could not possibly be sustained. So he made a shitfus. And that's why in Perek Beis you have the introduction of Hashem. Vayivra Hashem Elohim Esa Adam Afram Min Adama. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is Yom Hadin. He is the Melech HaKadosh. Judgment. Says the Rav, no one can avoid din. I could try and run like Yonah. I'm not going to be successful. Therefore, on the one hand, Zikaron Teruah means remember that you're in judgment today. Remember you're on the scooter and the van is backing up and someone is screaming, the sofa is calling. The Teruah blast, Zikaron Teruah. Not only should God remember the Teruah, I should remember the Teruah. Don't stand there like a piece of stone. Wake up, says the Rambam. You're in a crisis. It's the day of Din. And when the Melech sits on the Kisei of Din, no one can escape. That's one meaning of Teruah, like you said, bad, says Rav, shattering punishment, destruction. What else is the root word Resh Ayin? Friend.
Shir Hashirim Rayasi.
What?
Shir Hashirim.
Okay, there's many examples. Re'ah, 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 v'icha, lo'tazo. When the convert comes to Hillel, he says, convert me on one leg. And Hillel says, what is hateful to your friend, do not do to you. So Rashi says on the Gemara there, talking about the friend being the Ribbono Shel Olam. Re'ah, re'ah, v'icha, altazo. So yes, we have many situations where re'im ahuvim, ma'ke ish esre'ehu, Moshe said to the two anashim, ivrim nitzim lama saker re'echa. You have many examples where resh ayin means friend. The whole shir in and of itself, which is fascinating, is why friend and bad have the same shoresh. We can't talk about that now. It's really amazing, but we can't talk about it now. However, says Rav Salvechik, what does it have to do with shofar? Yom teruah, zikaron teruah, and even in the Torah text, we have a Shitfus between Yom Kippur and Teruah because of Yovel. If man employs the shofar, says Rav Salvechik, coupled with the merit of the forefathers, the shofar becomes something else. You have gone through the process of teshuvah. You really asked Hashem to help you change. You're taking the concrete steps to undergo kapara. You're trying. You're crying. You're dumb. You're doing the extra five kapitach of tilm. You're only eating the mahadran yoga. You understand that the whole world is tipped based on your action. If man employs the message of shofar, says Rav Salvechik, coupled with zuchus avos, the shofar becomes an instrument, not of destruction, an instrument of friendship between who? Man and God. Teshuva changes din. the shofar of Teruah, Ra, shattering destruction, the shofar when man wakes up and hears the call. Im ein ani li mili, said Hillel, 1:14. Kshani la'atzmi ma'ani v'imlo achshav, emasai. Even if I've been asleep the whole year, Adar, Nisan, double Adar, I should say, you were asleep the whole year, and now you wake up. And it's incredible that that survivor recalled, it felt like Matan Torah. I don't know if anybody remembers that a long time ago, in the beginning of this year, we pointed out that this time period is based on Moshe's ascension to Har Sinai. And at Har Sinai, there was Kol Shofar Holech V'Chazak Ma'od. Moshe Yedaber Ve'elokim Ya'anenu B'kol. Matan Torah was symbolized by shofar. And if we wake up to shofar, says Rav Soloveitchik, the shofar becomes an instrument which facilitates friendship between man and God. In his blessing to Yosef's children, Yaakov spoke of Hashem Haro'eh Osi, God who shepherds me, God who has befriended me. Here, the root word of teruah refers not to shattering punishment, not to ra, but to friendship. Rosh Hashanah begins as din. It's the day when the melech sits on the throne. He begins as avinu. No, Hashem help me. He begins as malkeinu. Coronation day. The melech is distant from the people. There's justice. He has no vested interest in your emotional well-being. He doesn't take your pleas into account. The Melech made a law, and you didn't keep the law, and thank you very much. Rosh Hashanah begins as Din, manifested by Malkeinu, the Teruah of Reish Ayin of justice. However, Rosh Hashanah, says Rav Soloveitchik, through a transformation which takes place through Kol Shofar, ends as Rachamim, mercy. We can call that Avinu. How poignant that during these 10 days we end our tefillah with a special prayer. Avinu after the Amida, and Malkeinu. There is a dual manifestation of one God. On the one hand, he is the compassionate father. He befriends you. Re'acha v're'a avicha al tazov. He's your friend. He's your father. He cares. He's willing to give you a second chance and a third chance and a tenth chance and a hundredth chance. At the last minute, you hear the person screaming, stop, and you scoot away and you swerve and your life is saved. The malach pushes you away because somebody, somewhere, gave you a schus. Maybe it was your own action, or maybe it was someone else's mahadran yogurt that saved you. The Rambam writes this. It's not like some fairy tale. But there's also Malkeinu. A Malkeinu is Din. And this is Yom HaDin. In the very name, Yom Teruah. In the very essence of Zikaron Teruah, you have a dual message. On the one hand, God is the Melech HaKadosh. On the one hand, he is the Dayan HaEmes. Ein Dayan Ela Echad. Ein Dayan Ela Dayan Echad. Dan Yechidi. There's only one Dayan. However, through shofar, but not stomp through the blowing of shofar, hear the shofar, internalize the shofar. Realize you all start at that narrow mouthpiece. Anani b'merchavka, widen my straits, God. Wake up, says the Rambam. Hear the blast. Give more tzedakah, he says. Do more ma'isim tovim during these 10 days. Realize you're responsible for the whole world. And if we come back to the Ribono Shel Olam through Teshuvah, then the shofar becomes the vessel that transforms Din, Ra, to Rachamim, Re'a, our friend. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah, says the Rav, begins as Din, but concludes as Rachamim, a transformation which takes place through shofar. And that's why we recite the verse Utruat Melach Bo. It's from the Nevuah of of all people, Bilam. What does it mean the Truah of the king is within him? We have a duality to shofar that exists within us. And this week's parsha, Nitzavim, which is read right before Rosh Hashanah, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Nasati, hini nasati lfneichem hayom, es hachayim ves hatov, ves hamaves ves hara. Before us are two paths. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us which to choose. V'acharta b'chayim l'man tichya. Ata v'zarecha. And we have to do an introspection, says the Rambam. We have to look within our souls. And we have to ask ourselves, where are we? I have more that I wanted to say. I think I would need another half an hour. I'm very sorry, because the rest is also very cool. I think that we learned a lot. The rest of the shiur has to do with b'midas adam modeid modedin lo, that in reality, if we befriend others, v'ahavta l'rei'acha kamocha, if we stop judging those around us, then the Ribono Shel Olam will become our friend. First, he waits to see how I treat somebody else. Like the Mishnah says in Yuma, the very last Mishnah, Perachas Mishnah test. Mitz aveiro shabein adam lachaveiro ein yom hakipurim mechaper ad sheyiratzes chaveiro. If I want God to be my friend, my re'ah, first he wants to see how I'm treating everybody else. If I treat others, every other Jew, doesn't mean I have to agree with their hashkafa. Doesn't it mean I have to agree with their mahalach? Doesn't it have to mean I have to be maskim on Chil Shabbos? Could be wrong, but I understand that you're a Jew who's worthy of being treated like the son of God, and maybe you have struggles that I never imagined. Maybe you never learned about Shabbos. Maybe I don't know your life and your nisyonos. Maybe if I was you, I'd also be Michal Shabbos. Perhaps the message of the shofar is, b'midash adam modeid modedin lo. First, the Ribono Shel Olam, that's the lashon of the Mishnah, beferush. The Mishnah says, mitzvah shabin adam l'makom, yom hakipuri mechaper. You did a real teshuva? You were Michal Shabbos, let's say, I don't know. You did something wrong. You didn't make a bracha. You didn't bench. You never daven mincha, even though you had the time. You do real teshuvah for sins between man and God. Hashem forgives. Ela avero shabein adam lechavero ein yom hakipuri mechaper ad sheyiratzes chavero. So there's a prerequisite to God becoming our friend. You know what the prerequisite to Ribono Shel Olam becoming my friend is? Making sure I am friends with everybody else. I don't mean this in a kindergarten type of way. Are we friends? And perhaps that's a message of Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. Haroe B'Shoshanim, Shir HaShir, and Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel. Not only is it me and my beloved, but it's me and you. And when me and you are beloveds, then God becomes the beloved of all of us. And perhaps that's the Elul of U'Mishloach Manus Ish L'Re'ehu. Did you hear what I said? Ish Le? What shorish do we have here? Ish l're'ehu. When we're involved in more tzedakah, says the Rambam, when we're involved in more ma'asim tovim, ish, does everyone know what I'm doing? This is one of the acronyms for Elul. Ish, aleph, l're'ehu, lamed, love, matanos le'evyonim. So look at the acronyms for which Elul stands. There's another one, this parshan, it's avim. Slavav chaves, slavav zarecha, v'al Hashem elkecha, says a Baal term. So perhaps, when I can befriend my friend and fulfill the ahavta l're'acha kamocha, the Ribono Shel Olam will befriend me. And then he will move from the kisei of din to the kisei of rachamim. I have to tell you something else that's very cool since I started the part that I said I wasn't going to tell you. When I was preparing shir, I realized something. The teruah is a broken, trembling sound. How many times do we make the sound?
Nine.
Okay, nine. So I looked it up. It must be at least eight notes. However, most make nine, so you don't accidentally do too few. On the last Rosh Hashanah of his life, of Nasan Tzvifinko, Zechat Tzad V'Kosh, of Rachel, who shares a yurtzai Rachel Imenu, Zchusam Yagen Aleinu, I believe it's Yod Alef Chashvan. On the last Rosh Hashanah of his life, Rav Nesson Tzvi stood up at the podium, the Beis Medrash in the mirror, and he said, people want to know what they should think about during Tkiyah Shofar. You know what you should think about, says Rav Nesson Tzvi? The person next to you. What should you think about? What are they crying for? What is their lack? Why Yeshua does he need? Why is she trembling over her sinner? Move away from our egocentricity. I began this year with a vignette that the shofar hates gaiva. Move away from our egocentricity and think about the person next to me. She's also crying. He's also trembling. Why? What do they need? Says with Nassim Tzvi, you want to know what you should think about during shofar? After an hour of what we should think about during shofar, with Nassim Tzvi said, think about the person next to you. V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. And when you think about what that person needs, that re'acha, mida k'negan, mida the ribono sh'olam moves from the kisei of ra'atruah to the kisei of Re'achatua, from the kisei of Malkeinu to the kisei of Avinu, from the kisei of Din, when we remove Din between me and you, when I stop judging everyone else, the Ribbono Shel Olam will stop judging me. Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin Aleph. Whoever is mavir al his midos, the Ribbono Shel Olam is mavir al kol vanosef. Nine kolos, 1 minute. Nine. Think of nine other people plus yourself makes a minyan, and a minyan is what brings down the Shechina. Berav Am Hajos Melech. Berav Am Hajos Melech. Nine. What should you think about during those nine blasts? Think about what you need. And then think of nine other Jews and what they need. Berav Am Hajos Melech. And when we can come together in that minyan and bring glory to the name of the King, Be'ezros Hashem, he'll inscribe all of us. You and your families, each and every one of you, and all of Knesset Yisrael, b'chol makom sheheim, shav kesiva v'chasima tova, ashana tova u'mesuka, a year that is always sweet, and be'ezros Hashem, only good. Amen v'amen. Thank you, everybody.